Welcome to Real Love, Real Stories TV and Podcast. I am Kanu and I'm the host. Thank you so much for always tuning in and joining me as I learn about love from couples who are making their relationships work and from singles who make being single fun. In the guest chair today is a couple from Louisiana, Randy and Joyce. Enjoy their story. Thank you so much, Randy and Joyce, for joining me on my podcast. So perhaps to start off with, I'll give you guys, you know, some time to introduce yourself.
Okay, I'm Joyce Wheeler. I formulate skincare products. I have a business called Heavenly Bodies. And then Randy and I will do a podcast together called Natural Bliss Podcast. So I'm also a natural living researcher, writer, speaker, podcaster, blogger.
You stay very busy, sounds like.
Yes, I do. Yeah, very busy. And I just got done with the JV challenge, so.
Oh, wow. Yeah, how about you, Randy?
Well, my name is Randy Wheeler, and I do podcasting, and I do the editing for podcasting, and I also drive a truck. That's my main job. But before I did that, and what I'm still also doing is for about 40 years, I did electronic repair.
Oh.
The reason I drive a truck now is because everything is throwaway. Nothing can be repaired anymore.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you for the introduction.
Yep.
So as you both know, my podcast is Real Love, Real Stories. So this is a platform where couples share their love stories with single people like myself, so we can find hope in also finding love one day. So I am curious to find out from both of you, how did your love journey begin and when did it begin?
Okay, I'm going to start this because I was previously married, and in 2004, I lost my first husband to type 2 diabetes.
I'm sorry to hear that.
That was in February 2004. Mm-hmm. And in February of 2005, my kids and I went to the island of Kauai, Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Originally, I was going to go and take them to Florida because it was a hard 2 years. My husband had been disabled. And I felt like, you know, they could use something fun and refreshing. But while I was doing the dishes, I kept hearing in my head, Hawaii. Like, I never want to go. I want to go to Hawaii. You know, look, Chicago's here. Hawaii's over here. Chicago's here. Florida's here. This is, you know, what do you mean Hawaii?
Right.
For confirmation, what island should I go to? Came back Hawaii. Well, during this time, I was also getting messages about a new beginning. And back then, I was looking to start another business. So I thought, oh, this business is finally going to take off. I was being told I was going to give all my stuff away. Well, I had an attic full of stuff, and I went, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, but it's time to get rid of that stuff. And then I was being pulled out. I was in leadership with a homeschool group because I homeschooled my kids.
Uh-huh.
I led the co-op that we had, and then I was involved with Vacation Bible School,
mm-hmm.
being told to get out of all this stuff. And I was like, no. So when I went to Kauai, I was under the impression I was going to meet a man there. And then the last day I was there, I heard in my head, there is no man here. And I was like, are you kidding me? You know, we came all this way. I mean, it was a beautiful time.
Right.
I went back to Chicago. At first, I felt like I didn't belong there anymore. And then I got on a Christian Singles Board.
Mm-hmm.
They had a prayer room, and I was talking with some people, and I really enjoyed it. And then for some reason, the website messed up, so I went on to another one. Well, one day, this face appeared, and he said to me, did you say Kauai? And I went and I looked at his profile, and I thought, this guy is a stalker. It looked to me like he like created a profile after he read mine, which was impossible, but that's how it looked.
Wow.
So I messaged him back, you know, we both had been to Kauai. He'd been there before, and then, of course, I had just come back. So we started talking. He was in West Tennessee. I was in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And we started talking, first messaging through the computer. Then we started talking on the phone and found out he had quite a sense of humor. he starts telling redneck jokes. I was on a computer and I typed in redneck jokes and I start telling redneck jokes. And he said, that's not funny. And I was like, oh, well, sorry, I didn't mean to insult you.
So first of all, I'm sorry to hear that you lost your husband.
Thank you.
And then secondly, I heard you say you were hearing messages. Where were you hearing the messages? Who were they from or what were they from?
At that time, I would say that they were from God.
Okay.
And it wasn't like I was hearing them in my head. It was like there were just these thoughts.
I see. Okay.
Just these thoughts that were coming into my head. And I knew they weren't my own. You know, in traveling, I never wanted to go to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. I love history, especially Western history. So for me, it would be like going up to the Oregon Trail.
Right.
Places like that. I had no interest whatsoever in going to Hawaii. So I knew that was not my thought.
Uh-huh. So when you went to Hawaii, was it the same time that Randy was in Hawaii? But you both
No. No.
Okay. Okay.
No, when he went to Hawaii, he was married to his first wife.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
I was actually doing a computer search for a part one day. Uh-huh. The website that she was talking about, which was a Christian singles board, I guess, came up. And I wasn't a real big internet person at that time. I guess I'm really still not, but of course it's been forced upon all of us. But that's when I found the site and when I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. I might be, you know, there might be somebody. I had not been divorced too long. Mm-hmm. I found that. You know, I tell people the story about my wife. I joke around. She says, use my sense of humor. But I tell people, I said, my wife ran off with my best friend, and I sure do miss him. But anyway, joke, okay. I was looking for a part when the website came up, and then I looked at it, and I said, well, what the heck? You did the little page where you filled out some things about yourself or whatever, and then mm-hmm. I looked several things and responded to several people and things, just, you know, chit-chat, talk back and forth or whatever. And then her and I at some point started talking and we seemed to have, you know, a lot of dialogue in common. So,
yeah.
And we finally, you know, she was in Chicago and I was in Tennessee. And one night after we had fast enough, she gave me her number and I said, well, I'll just call you. So that's when we went on the phone and started expanding our relationship. So.
Yeah, we did until one day you called me and said, I can't talk to you anymore.
Yeah, I thought maybe me and Max were getting back together, of course, if that was.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna attempt to make the best of it and do it, but
right.
That just wasn't going to be. She found someone that she liked better than me, and those things happen in relationships.
Right.
And that's the route that she decided to take, and I'll just leave it at that. But anyway.
But yeah, and at that time, yeah, I was very much into the Bible when I went to church.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a passage in the Bible in the New Testament that says that it's better off for us not to get married because we can have a close relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of felt like, all right, and the thing is, too, I want to say this, too. When my first husband died, I was 39.
Okay.
You know, three kids. They were, at that time, they were 5, 7, and 13.
Mm-hmm.
So I had them, and I didn't want guys going in and out of my life, or they didn't need to be attached to another man and have to leave. So I was very, very cautious about what I was doing. But that scripture in the Bible, I was like, okay, when he said that, I kind of took it like a sign, well, maybe this just wasn't meant to happen.
Right.
And then one day, I took the kids to the park, and I was talking to God, and I said, you know what? I need a partner. That night, he messaged me on the computer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I thought that was... And it was just like he was waiting for me to say, you know what? You should be enough. You're not enough. I need somebody in my life.
You just gave me goosebumps.
Just talking. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I said you just gave me goosebumps that you stated that same day and he just appeared.
Then he said to me, what was it like? And we started talking, I think, like, In March, April 2005?
Somewhere, no, 2000.
Oh, no, 2005. Mel passed in February 2004.
Yeah, that's right.
So it was, because I have your birthdays in May. At any rate, he said to me, he said, I'm going to come to Chicago and see you. And I was like, yeah, right. Okay. And I didn't believe him, but he did. He came to Chicago for the weekend. He came to see me. And we spent some time together. And then we continued to talk on the phone. And then he invited me and his kids to come to West Tennessee. And that was in July, or on the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. So we went there for a week.
Okay.
We're sitting on the porch. He had a high-up porch with a swing, and we're sitting there. And he said, why don't we move to Tennessee? And I said, in July. He said, marry me. And I said, is that a question or a statement? The way he said it, I wasn't quite sure. You know, are you asking me to marry you, or are you just saying, well, you know? It was kind of hard to say. But, you know, at that point in time, we had both had gone through a marriage. We knew what we wanted. We knew what we didn't want.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was pretty much that, yeah, okay, let's go ahead and do this. So we had a very short courtship, and then I moved down to West Tennessee on my birthday, which was August 2008 and 2005, and then September, we got married.
Oh, okay. So what was the time frame that you were doing long-distance relationship before Randy proposed and then you moved?
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out. It was 2005. I went to Kauai in February. So I think it was about April, either March or April, that we started interacting and talking and everything.
Okay.
And then, like I said, it was July 2005 then that I went to West Tennessee with my kids.
Okay.
And then he asked, and there was at one point he came back to Chicago and he brought me an engagement ring.
Okay.
And then we just like talked until he came down, we got a U-Haul, hauled some of my stuff up. But, you know, the thing was is that it was during that time that I realized the reason that I was being told to stop doing all this stuff was because I was going to be moving.
Oh.
See, I didn't know this. And the same thing with giving away the stuff. It wasn't just the stuff up in the attic. It was, I had no reason to take it. He already had a house and he had a house full of stuff.
Right.
There's no reason for me to take anything. And I will say the first year was really hard. And I think it was hard because we really didn't know each other too well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the first year.
We definitely did things very differently because I was basically a country boy that lived in West Tennessee. And, you know, the closest town was not very big. And she was a city girl from Chicago and she wasn't used to the way that we did things in the country. And so I remember the first time. She had never shot a gun in her life. And one day I got out one of my guns, and I used to shoot. I mean, there was woods all around us, so we shot right on the front porch.
Yeah.
And that one day, and I handed it to her, and I think she was worse than, you know, the worst Barney Fife that I've ever seen in the whole world. I mean, it's the one dropping to shoot one of us. Like a leaf, I said, look, just aim it. You know, there's some. I got some bottles set up down there, and just aim it. And I think it's like the old story about the guy that shot the squirrel. And he said, hey, I hit it. Yeah, because you shot it the whole tree. You were shaking so hard. But anyway, she handed it back to me. We were shaking. But yeah, I think by the time we were done, she shot it 5, 6, 7 times, something like that. And then every time I would pull the gun out to clean it and do something, she would kind of get a smile on her face and say, we can shoot. Started getting a little bit more used to the way the things were in the country, and she had the Chicago mentality, of course, locking your vehicles and
right.
With a lot of people around, you want to make sure it's secure stuff. And when you live out like that in the country, you just don't have that attitude because people just don't come around.
Right.
Somebody does come around. It's a neighbor that needs something, or is checking on you, or you know, for some other reason. So,
like it's somebody you know, yeah.
It's somebody that you know. Very seldom do you get someone that you don't know. And people in the country know to make sure that they set off plenty of alarms before they come walking up because they don't want to get shot.
Right.
Yeah. hey, it's me, you know.
Right.
Me. Okay, yeah. You don't do that. You wake up, you will set off alarms in the city.
So, Joyce, what was it like to adjust from living in Chicago to now being in the country?
You know, a lot of people told me I should go through culture shock, but because I was put where I was supposed to be, I pretty much was able to slide right in, with the exception of the gum thing. I actually liked it. I liked having that great open space instead of houses on top of houses, you know, my neighbors knowing everything I was doing. And because my kids were young at the time, they were kids. I'd have people knocking on my door saying, your child's calling my child names. Okay, did he hit them? Did he hurt them? No, he's just calling them names. I'm like, that's what kids do.
Right.
If my child physically harms your child, I want to know about it. If he's cussing at him, I want to know about that too. But if he's just calling him a booger nose, you know, I mean, that's what kids do. So it was really refreshing. We were on 16 acres. Yeah, it was very beautiful. You know, we did have a house behind us, but it was a woman with her grown son. That there wasn't very many people around, and it was nice. And, you know, I mentioned before that I homeschooled my kids. Mm-hmm. Well, I moved to West Tennessee. My daughter was real upset because she was living behind friends and family, and she was just starting high school.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, if you're going to put me in the middle of nowhere, I at least want to go to school. So I was like, fine. So she went to school, and then the schools in Chicago, they go from kindergarten to eighth grade. So the younger kids are around all the influence of all these older kids, which is an issue. So we're in West Tennessee, the one school was kindergarten through third grade. So, and it was a real nice school, and I did put my boys in school during that time,
mm-hmm.
doing repairs. So we had gone to a nearby town for him to do a repair, and we did shopping. And we weren't going to get back in time. The house has an alarm system on it. So I'm like freaking out because they're going to set off the alarm. We can't get the sound signal because normally the service would call and ask us if everything was okay.
Mm-hmm.
We had no cell service at that point. So him, he starts telling me, oh yeah, we're going to get there. The sheriff's going to be out there. There's going to be cops all over the place. Yeah.
You're going to jail.
Yeah. In Chicago, if you do this stuff, they call DCS up on you and they're going to keep your kids away. So I'm totally freaking out. He's like, oh, yeah. We get there and the sheriff's car is there and I'm right out. I am so sorry. And I'm sleeping. He's like, well, they appear to be all right. You know, no problem. And I'm just like, you really? Yeah, so needless to say, you know, the 13 years we've been together, it's never a dull moment with this one.
I bet. Randy, you sound like you're a pretty funny guy.
Well, I just, in the first place, I don't like to let the truth interfere with a good story.
Yeah?
And I have to have a good story. So, yeah, I mean, what's life without a little bit of humor? So, and it's a good thing that she has a sense of humor. But. Yeah. And she's not free from not pulling a few strings here and there either, so you know, she does that too, which is okay. I mean, I enjoy both directions.
Well, that's because I have a good teacher.
That's right.
Yeah, so how many years have you been together now from the time you met to now?
We always have a hard time with that one. So
no, it's 2005, 13 years.
So it's 13
years. Years.
Okay. Really had a hard time both being in a second marriage is... At one time, we couldn't remember what day we were married on. Neither one of us. That's one of the most important things. You better remember that wedding day, right?
Right, right.
Neither one of us could.
We literally had to go get the license out and see what day that we were married on, because one of us couldn't remember.
Well, at least it was both of you who couldn't remember. It's worse when the guy does not remember, because you would have been in trouble, Randy.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so... I often like to ask my couples that I interview on my podcast, you know, when you get two people living together, there's some things that, you know, you have to adjust to getting to know each other. So I always ask this question, what are some of the annoyances that you deal with in this relationship that you know, you probably wouldn't deal with if you were not in love.
Oh boy.
You know what? I'm going to go by last night. I think him interpreting the way I feel sometimes. We had a situation last night, and this morning he approached me and said that I was mad, and I said, no, I wasn't mad. I was hurt.
Oh.
Well, sometimes he misinterprets the way that I'm feeling. He thinks any time that I have a feeling that's a negative feeling, that I'm mad.
Oh, okay.
You know, sometimes it's not that I'm mad. Sometimes I'm frustrated. But like for last night, it was just because I was hurt.
Right.
So I think that's one thing.
What about you, Randy?
What was the question? Oh, the thing that bothered you. I had to think about it for a minute when you were saying that.
And it's okay if you can think of anything.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess it's kind of a two-way street there, because sometimes she doesn't understand the way I feel about certain things or whatever. You know, of course, men and women, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus, whichever way that it is. But in any case, you know, there is different thought patterns there. And women usually have more than one thing on their mind at one time. You know, they multitask, and that's one thing that she doesn't understand sometimes, I think, because like when I get on a computer, I don't open 972 windows. But about her, she's got so many things open, I don't know how she can keep up with what's up there. She's all over the place.
Multitask, he can't walk and talk. We go for a walk, no. He stops in the middle of the road to talk to me.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Like, let's keep walking.
You can do this, okay?
Yeah. No, thank you.
Evolution, that's what not what guys were designed for, and you know, that's what most people need to realize. The man was out in the field plowing, and he was concentrating on the one thing, getting the seed in, doing the cultivating, and doing whatever that he had to do, or he was in the barn, he was feeding the animals or milking the cows, but it was one job at a time. As to where when the women were there, they were holding on to the children, they even breastfeeding at the time, while they were cooking dinner, while they were working on some piece of clothes, because they had to make their own clothes. If you go back in society and you look at what the women were doing, they were in the house multitasking on things, as to where men were outside more doing manual, hard labor, simple stuff, but they were only thinking about one thing at a time. And now you can't take men and women that evolved over thousands of years and expect them to change in a few days. It doesn't work that way. So now it's still the same way. Women generally do a better job of multitasking. So I think that's an important thing for a couple to realize, because years I didn't know that. When I was married to my first wife, I didn't know that. So, you know, I always said too that you know, if you can build a house together and stay married, you'd probably be married forever. Well, that didn't happen with me and my first wife, because we did build a house together. And then I don't know how many years later, 8 years later, I guess it was, is when we got divorced after we bought the house. But
yeah.
In any case, in 2009 or so, I went through a bad illness and I had to quit my job.
Okay.
But it could not work. I was too sick to work. And, you know, we had some struggles during that period, but we had made it that far, and we got used to more the way that each other does things and whatever. And you know, she was pretty understanding about the fact that I was sick, as to where I'm not sure that I'm not trying to bring up any bad or talk anything bad about anyone, but my first wife just seemed to have a good understanding about those types of things. And so, but she understood pretty well. But I found out what was wrong with me finally after the misdiagnosis, and was able to slowly get cured and get back to work and do things again. But I think that those things right there actually make you a little bit stronger in what you do. You know,
absolutely.
When you have tough times, that's what makes the good times better.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. I never thought of it in the way that you just described it, Randy, but, you know, men in the old days, men only did the one job of plow, you know, they focused on that one job. But women were busy multitasking, taking care of the kids, cooking, doing this, doing that. I never thought of it that way. So thank you for describing it, because that totally makes sense. Absolutely makes sense. Yeah. So on the flip side of that question, what are some qualities about each other? Maybe one quality about each other that you appreciate?
His sense of humor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he makes me laugh. I need to be with somebody who can make me laugh. And laughter is so good for you, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely, you know, and I actually, it's not even just one thing. I would say his sense of humor and the fact that he supports me in the different things that I want to do.
Yeah, that's very important. Absolutely. Yeah.
He's like a good bra.
I guess I hold things up around here. Huh?
I love it. What about you, Randy?
Well, she works, you know, every day on the computer doing things and the different things that she does, and I appreciate that, you know, and she knows that I've in my job, I have to be away sometimes, and the bad thing about my job is sometimes I never know what hours I'm going to have to work.
Right.
I work one day and everything will go smooth and I'll be done right at the right time, and other times there's been times I'll call her, you know, nowadays we do have at least communication where you can contact someone, but I usually, like on Sunday night, I'll get home, you know, 10 o'clock, 10:30, somewhere in there. And sometimes things happen. I mean, it'll be 2:30 in the morning before I get home.
Yeah, yeah.
And that I do have a job to do, and that's you know, is our main source of income around here, and it has to be done. So, and then she's also, I appreciate the fact that she is respectful, that when there are days that I have to go to work late night, and she's respectful of the fact that I have to get sleep.
Nice. Yeah.
I have to be able to do that. So we've kind of, you know, we work together and have learned a lot about each other and realize, and sometimes I just realize too that I just need to give her, when she's frustrated about certain things, and I'm kind of the same way, just give her space.
Mm-hmm.
Let her go through it or whatever and figure it out. And if she needs to talk to me, she'll say, you know, we need to talk or whatever, and I go that side.
Yeah, no, that's very important.
We can have a conversation, which is not something I could really do with the first time going around.
Oh, neither could I.
Yeah, and both of us have talked about that, mm-hmm. the fact that now we're married to someone that we can talk to. And yeah. That's, you know, in any situation, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's with a neighbor or a spouse, mm-hmm. or a country or a child or whatever. If the communication line is not open and you're not discussing things with each other, then things are just going to, you know, go downhill. It can't just be an argument. You've got to listen to what the other side is saying.
Absolutely.
You've got to be able to have some appreciation for what they're saying. And sometimes, you know, but you've got to get, and it's a give and take situation in any relationship. That's what you've got to have. You know, there's certain things around here that they are going to be a certain way and just dead set on it. Like I don't believe in being late on bills. It's one thing that I've always been we don't go and buy whatever that we want. You know, we don't do any of these things. And she appreciates that, so I handle that end of it.
Yeah.
And there's certain things that she wants her way, and okay, I respect that.
Yeah, he's really good with the finances. So when you have, you know, a significant other, really important for at least one of you to be able to wrap your head around the importance of money. And I always tell people he's a financial genius.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you both are already touching on what my next question would have been. Well, you know, some advice that you would give to whether it's a couple or it's single people, but Randy already touched on quite a few points on that. And Joyce, you just talked about the finances, but are there any other things that you want to add for people to take away from how successful your relationship is working?
Yeah, I think, you know, like when he was talking about disagreements, there is at one point that, you know, there's certain things we just don't agree on and we're not going to. He can't change my mind. I can't change his mind.
Mm-hmm.
We were going back and forth one day and I said, you know what, we're going to just have to go agree to disagree and move on. So that's my biggest thing, that, you know, that's something that we do.
Yeah.
So we don't have a lot of arguments because he realizes he can't change my opinion. I realize I can't change his. And you know, that's okay. We're different people.
Absolutely.
I don't want a mini me, you know?
Right. And I think it's what's important is what you already talked about, is that you are willing to both communicate, to talk about, you know, what you need to talk about. If you have that openness of let's talk about it, even though you end up disagreeing, that's okay, but at least you've heard each other's point of view, right?
Yeah, and believe it or not, I guess a lot of people don't realize this, but you can learn a lot about your relationship from watching other people's.
And you can watching learn, other people's?
Yeah, and why they failed and or why they stayed together.
Right.
And, you know, there isn't a single factor. Money doesn't hold you together. There's a lot of very wealthy people that get divorced.
Oh, and, absolutely.
And it isn't, you know, stuff certainly doesn't hold you together. Matter of fact, there are some people that are very poor that have gone through the hardest times, but those are the ones that stay together. Yeah. So, and I was best described by a friend of mine that I had for years and years that he was a bomber pilot in Korea and Vietnam. And he was also a singer, guitar player singer. And he used to get on stage and one of the first things that he would say was, he said, I was a survivor of five wars, Korea, Vietnam, and three divorces. Believe it or not, I learned a lot from the things that he had to say. So.
I think another thing too is being clear on what you want from another person. You know, just deciding, you know, what is really important to me, and what are things that I absolutely positively can't put up with.
Right.
And I even learned, like from my first marriage, was I was like, why? You know, I mean, that was a big thing for me, and I was always, you know, after him about that. Well, with him, it's just like, okay, the toilet's going. Is it really a big deal that the toilet seat is up? You know, no, it's not a big deal. It's a toilet seat. I can put it down. It's really not worth me getting upset over or causing conflict between us about the toilet seat.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
So decide what's important. You know, what really matters to you? What can you be like, you know, all right, no issue?
Yeah. Are you aware of the languages of love?
Yes. I don't know if he is, the languages of love. There's five love languages.
I've heard them before. I don't remember specifically.
No, I don't remember.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe you had taken the, I was going to ask you if you had taken the test, but.
Yeah. No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, so what about advice for people that are single, that are wanting to, you know, that are looking to find someone? What sort of tips would you have for people like that? What should they look for in a partner?
You know, one thing I would say is, you know, don't look. Let it just happen.
Okay.
You know, and my first husband, I met him when I was 13 and he was 16.
Mm-hmm.
We were friends for a long time. And sometimes friends make the best partners.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
So maybe look at your friend zone, the people you friend zoned, and think, you know, maybe there's something there.
So yeah.
It's really hard to say because we're all different. We all have different needs and different desires. You know, I mean, again, for me, it was like a sense of humor. I had to have somebody who had a sense of humor.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and somebody who respects me as a person. And as a woman.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you talk about looking your friend zone. I'm in my 40s and single still, but recently I just got into a relationship and with somebody from 24 years ago that I used to be friends with.
Ah.
So you're right about that. Yeah. So what about Randy from a guy's perspective?
The one thing that's very important, I think, is the fact that a lot of people go into a relationship and they see someone and I guess they think that they're going to change that person. Oh, well, once we get...
Yes, that's a big one right there.
There's a piece of paper here that says that we're married. Okay, now these things, I'm going to change that person. Well, you're not going to change that person. That person's personality, that person's general lives, that person's demeanor, however that person is, you know, that's... provided they don't get into a drug situation or something like that, you know, they're not going to change.
Yeah.
You've got to stand back and look at it, you know, and see that person for who they are and see if that's something that you can live with for the rest of your life. Because most people just don't take relationships seriously anymore.
most people, it's just, oh, well, if worse comes to worse, we can just get a divorce. You know, it's, to them, it's just a piece of paper, and that's what, not what a marriage is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We, you know, long term, you know, it's work, you help me, I help you. And you know, it's a two-way street. You know, it's, if you stand there and you listen to the wedding vows, you know, to have and to hold, you know, to sickness, health, rich and poor, whatever the situation may be, whatever comes up, you know, you're supposed to stick through it. The people nowadays, for whatever reason, and I think there's a lot of factors out there because it's an all of, it's what about me world anymore. That's what it's become, and that's why the world is partially in the situation that it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they only think of themselves, you didn't do this for me, or I didn't like this. You can't have that attitude.
No.
You just can't have it.
It's a partnership.
Absolutely.
Give and gotta take.
Yeah.
And, you know, one other thing, too, I was sitting here while he was talking, thinking about, well, something Greg Braden did a video on mirrors. And what he was talking about was that sometimes we'll attract people into our life that we need for a time. And we might think that there's this physical attraction, but it's we're attracted to what we see in them that we want for ourselves. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're meant to be with that person.
I wanted to extend my special thank you to both of you for taking time to chat with me and sharing with me and my audience your love journey. So thank you so much for taking time to talk to me today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for having us.
John.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it. Please remember to go to iTunes. You can subscribe, rate, and write a review. And also, you can always find more information about any of the episodes on my website, www.reallovereallstories.com. And remember to follow me on social media. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and it's all under Real Love, Real Stories. Till next time.